ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। श्री चैतन्यामनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। श्रीकृष्णा चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। श्री कृष्ण भगवान हैज लेफ्ट वृंदावन धाम विद अक्रूरा एंड हैज कम टू मथुरा। हरे कृष्णा। बट वेर एवर श्री कृष्णा इज देर इज वृंदावन, वेर एवर इज हार्ट इज। इवन वेन द टेम्पल ऑफ दिल्ली वॉज नेम्ड एज इट इज वर नेम्ड राधा पार्थ सारथी, सो मेनी पीपल क्वेश्चन यू नो हाउ राधा एंड पार्थ सारथी। सो द आंसर वॉज दैट wherever Krishna goes, Vrindavan goes with him. And wherever Vrindavan goes with him, Radharani is with him always. So whether he is Partha Sarathi or Kansari or Murari or whatever you say, he is always meditating on Radha's love. Even he went to Dwarka, he became Dwarkadhish in Dwarka, still always he was meditating on the love of Radharani and getting up in the night and crying and calling names of gopis and Radharani. Like that. So, and it's very amazing, wherever Krishna goes and his activities are very stimulating, very transcendental, very amusing, entertaining, at the same time very thrilling also, very spiritually stimulating. So here he has already now killed the weaver, the personality who was dhobi, washerman. So he killed him because of his arrogance and abusive language in public. He insulted Krishna by very harsh words actually. So Krishna killed him by just moving his hand on his neck. Looks like very harsh action, but Krishna was insulted in public, and now as he has left Braj, he is assuming Kshatriya mode also. So he had to immediately punish him and make him straight. And then he meets Sudama, the florist. And Sudama florist offers so many beautiful, colorful, attractive garlands to Krishna Balaram, and also decorates his friends with those garlands and makes Krishna very happy along with his friends. So Krishna bestows him so many benedictions. Oh, prosperity, beauty, strength, steadfastness, happiness, bliss, love, devotion, all that is desired and wanted by anybody, any living entity, Sri Krishna bestowed upon that florist. The formula is very simple. Ye yatha mam prapadyante, tam stadaya bhajamyam. If you just love Krishna, eager to serve Krishna, want to please him, then all that is best in this life and the next is available to you instantly. And if you behave crookedly with Krishna, then result comes accordingly. It is not that Krishna is eager to punish somebody. It is the living entity, one who behaves in a particular way, you know, puts Krishna into position of punishing a devotee or a person. He is equal to all, but the living entities push him to appear as a punisher sometimes and appear as lover sometimes. It is as per the living entity's gesture and attitude of love or hatred which is responded by Krishna. So after giving the wonderful benedictions, very pleasing benedictions to the florist Sudama, then he is walking on the road, and he is walking on the main road at the bank of Jamuna River near Kamsa's palace, and he finds a beautiful attractive woman which has attractive face but has hunchback, hurrying towards the palace of Kamsa with a bowl of sandalwood pulp in her hand. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that she is Kubja, the hunchback woman, and she is the expansion of Satyabhama. By the way, when in Golok Vrindavan, when Sri Krishna created everything in Golok Vrindavan, and then from his left side, Srimati Radharani appeared. And then from that, from left side Radharani appeared, and from Radharani all the variety of expansions took place. And one part of them were all gopis, and another part of them were all the queens of Krishna. Variety. Many varieties of energies that Krishna exhibits. So Radharani expanded also into Aishwarya expansions and Madhurya expansions. Madhurya expansions were all gopis, and Aishwarya expansions were all the queens, and variety of potencies like Durga Devi, Saraswati and other demigoddesses were produced. So one of them is Satyabhama, very special devotee, Shakti of the Lord. And she is actually represents, she expands as Bhu Shakti. And that Bhu Shakti came as Kubja. Very significantly, she was bent in three places, neck, the chest and the waist. We called as, in our medical terms, scoliosis, which is bent, which causes a lot of difficulties. But amazingly, she was by face very, very beautiful. So Krishna called her as Subhru. Subhru means one whose eyebrows are very attractive. Her eyes are, and another explanation, Krishna addressed her as Kamala Nayana. In Garga Sanhita it is explained. Oh, lotus-eyed one. Oh, one who has beautiful eyebrows. Oh, one with attractive face. Who are you? And where are you going? Whose servant are you? What are you carrying in your hand? So she says that I am the servant of Kamsa. And this chandan which I make every day, because I make it with my own hands, Kamsa likes it very much. And it is his day-to-day activity to enjoy my chandan, which I make and offer him. So Krishna says, offer that chandan to me. Why to serve the wicked Kamsa? And by offering it to me, all good fortune will come upon you. And she immediately offered that chandan to Sri Krishna. Now see, Krishna also went to the washerman. He said the same thing, right? What are you doing? I'm washing clothes of Kim Kamsa. Give the clothes to me. He said, no. You are all like street boys, jungle boys, uncultured, unworthy. Go away from here. Otherwise you'll be chastised by Kamsa. So Krishna killed him. If you would have said, yes, yes, please take. Everything is for you. And nonetheless, after he was killed, Krishna chose beautiful clothes, Balram chose beautiful clothes. All the coward boys also went and chose beautiful clothes and ornaments and decorated themselves and started walking on the highway in front of Kamsa's house. So this is the greatness of Kubja actually. Kubja, just see her courage. All of you must be remembering that when Nanda Maharaj would go to Mathura to pay taxes. You know, there was a restriction in Mathura district that no one will talk about the children of Devaki, especially the birth of the eighth child or whatever happened. The child disappeared and then girl came up and she went in the sky. No one was allowed to discuss these things. There was only, Achar Sahita in the election time. You cannot do so many things which you do otherwise. So this particular pastime or activity or ghatna or the events of imprisoning Vasudev and Devaki and their births and all those things, like which are like a very embarrassing events for Kamsa, because he killed innocent children mercilessly. So it was like a very embarrassing, defamous activity. So whole Mathura used to be always tense, and no one would dare to talk about this event or give an opinion about an event. What do they feel? And everybody is fearfully only serving Kamsa. Nobody has any choice. Even the ladies and men would go from Vrindavan to Kamsa to pay taxes. That's it. Do the business and come down. Don't talk about anything. What do you feel about anything? At such tense situation, this hunchback woman, another thing one should note, that when one is physically handicapped, one also becomes very weak in other things in life. Even thinking becomes very cautioned, and one is strong, then he is very proud, and he also thinks like that. In our JMC, there is a motto that a sound mind lives in a sound body. And the body is strong, the body or mind also becomes very strong. When the body is weak, then the mind becomes fearful and very cautious. But even that condition, when Krishna demanded, immediately she gave Chandan. She decorated Krishna's body, Balaram's body, and she said that my mind is simply attracted to you. Your elephant trunk-like beautiful arms are simply attracting my attention. And then she felt a little shy because she realized that she singularly addressed Krishna as being attracted to him. And then she noticed Balaramji also is next to her. Then she said, oh, in the three worlds, there are nobody as beautiful as two of you. you, she said. Not you. Thus, the youths, the two of you are so attractive, nobody can match your beauty in the three worlds. So she was incessantly expressing her love, which was flowing from her heart, and at the same time, she was a little bit embarrassed. But nonetheless, she didn't hesitate to offer Chandan, which was supposed to be a heinous crime from her side. She could have been punished, she could have been killed, she could have been... anything could have happened to her. But look at her courage. Even though she was in a condition of a woman's body, handicapped body, but her courage is very much appreciated by acharyas. She was standing in front of Kamsa's palace, on the highway, in public place. And she was... the chandan that she offered Krishna Balaram was very much liked by Kamsa, and Kamsa every day would enjoy that. So it's like partaking from Kamsa's bhoga and giving to Krishna. So much courage you require. And our acharyas explained that this kind of surrender to Krishna's will, because Krishna wanted that chandan to decorate himself. So Krishna is asking service. She is not knowing anything. Krishna asked, immediately she gave. Arjuna had to hear full Bhagavad Gita to come to the shloka Sarva Dharmam Parityajam. And after that, many more shlokas, and then he surrendered and he fought the war. But he said, same kind of surrender she exhibited just by observing the beautiful face of Krishna. She didn't have to hear any summon from Krishna. Just by a desire that, please give me your beautiful chandan, immediately she gave. Such a wonderful thing, an example she has set. Srila Prabhupada comments that because as soon as she became, what happened to her? Her face was beautiful, body was hunched. As soon as what Krishna did, when he enjoyed and he was very pleased with the service given by Kubja, he thought, let me correct her now. Let me do her supramajor orthopedic corrective surgery. And he put his toe of right leg on her toes and he raised his hand and with his two fingers, he held her chin and he pulled her up instantly. Moment he pulled her up, she became straight and very, very beautiful. Her beauty was augmented by millions of times and she became effulgently, attractively beautiful. So much so that even the beauty of Ramba in heavenly planets was defeated by her beauty. She was shining, effulgent, and she became very blissful. And as soon as she became straight, immediately the loving attraction, lusty attraction developed in her heart, spontaneously. The significant point to note here, she never desired or demanded from Krishna that Krishna should do this for her. She didn't expect that when I give Chandan to him, he will do my surgery. She never expected that. She never desired that. She only desired to please the Lord. And she pleased him. Just because she desired to please him and she actually pleased him, Krishna did something which she never expected. That is another important thing. In our life also, if we keep on demanding from Krishna, then the response may come accordingly in the course of time or something like that. But if we simply choose to always please him by our actions, by our actions of serving him and serving his devotees, then so many miraculous things will happen, which we may not understand. When the florist also never demanded that I should get all the benedictions. He just offered the flowers to Krishna, garlands to Krishna, just out of love. So love is the highest commodity. When we are on that platform, we even attempting to love, not to have love. Love is very highest platform. It may not be easily attained by any of us, but we simply desire to love and serve him and please him, then so many things happen which we cannot even comprehend, cannot anticipate, cannot imagine also. Inconceivably, many, many most wonderful, miraculous things, amazing things will happen in our life. And when that happens, our life becomes part of Krishna Leela actually. Simply Krishna accommodates us in His Leela when we say, yes sir, whatever your demand, I will serve you. And Srila Prabhupada said, when she became lusty, many people actually speak that, oh, she became lusty for Krishna's body actually. She wanted to enjoy with Him. She's saying, now that you have blessed me, now I cannot leave you. How can I just leave you and go? It's just impossible for me to leave you go. Please come to my house. And she was holding his upper cloth in front of Brother Balaram, in front of all the coward boys. It was very embarrassing for Krishna also. So Prabhupada explains that, in Chaitanya Charitamrita purport, that Krishna handles such a devotee who has loved him, served him, at the same time has lusty desires. So he will arrange in his life such a way, events, that by those events, the lusty desires will be forgotten by the devotee. He will get purified and only love will emerge out of that. That means what? Krishna will neglect that lusty actions or activities or thoughts and simply partake of the loving gestures the devotee is exhibiting towards Him. How wonderful our Lord is actually. Huh? Even Putana, when she approached Krishna, she was so envious and so cruel. She wanted to kill the infant child. Such heinous mentality she had. Such degraded mentality. But just because she acted as a mother, Krishna forgot every single thing, only accepted that motherly activity of breastfeeding milk and straight put her into a position of Dhatri, the maid servant of Yashoda in Golok Vrindavan. That is Krishna's greatness, that He only accepts the favorable and positive devotional sentiment even in the demon's heart. And similarly is our Guru Maharaj, our spiritual masters. In the ocean of faults seen in the heart of a disciple, what Guru Maharaj sees is only the spark of a desire to serve the Lord. And He keeps fanning that and makes it into fire. And in that fire, everything is burnt. And whatever remains also He neglects. He only sees that spark. Oh, this entity, living entity, has a desire to serve Krishna. And my job is also to only to fan and increase the flame of desire to serve Krishna. So this quality of Krishna, even spiritual master imbibes and exhibits us, to us, those, this attitude of a spiritual master is exhibited to us on behalf of Krishna by spiritual master. So, normally the laws of nature have strong effect on us. For whatever reasons, it is said that Kamsa Kubja was having mixed karmic background. And she had hunchback. So laws of nature don't allow you to get corrected like this. You know, you cannot correct in medical terms also this kyphosis like this miraculously. But what Sri Krishna cannot do? If He is pleased with you, then He can come over the laws of nature because He is Mayapati Himself. He can go over the laws of nature, break the laws of nature and do whatever He wants miraculously. Huh? So you can see He awarded miraculous things to Kubja simply by using His power of love and performed His wonderful service to Kubja. And He actually removed our stigma of being hunchback. See, people who are hunchback, you know, they also have a social stigma. People don't respect them so much, or they neglect them, don't want to be with them so much. So Krishna removed the stigma of her being hunchback. Krishna made her effulgently beautiful. But the real reward was not that. A devotee is not generally or usually impressed by the material benefit that he receives by the mercy of Krishna. He doesn't even look at that. For example, the devotees are, it's explained in scriptures that mukti and bhukti run behind with folded hands behind the devotees of Krishna. And don't even turn and look at them. Where they are simply attracted to the divine loving service of the Lord. So here, Kubja didn't become very impressed and happy because she got corrected in her beauty and in her physical handicap. But the real reward to her was the attraction and the loving devotional service that she received after this correction. So whichever way Krishna touches you, through physical touch, or through darshan, or through vani, Krishna's touch through any of these means of special senses is very miraculous. And what it always offers us is the loving devotional service, the opportunity to serve him. And the greatest gift Krishna gave her was not the beauty and not the correction, but loving devotional service. He awarded her. Her life was successful. Her life was filled with love for Krishna. And she wanted to serve Krishna and please him. And wanted to call him at home. But Krishna had an embarrassment. He had his elder brother standing next to him. Plus the young boys who were walking with him. And they were also like, you know, very amazed to see this young woman getting transformed, number one. They also got very amused. Wow, Krishna, look at our Krishna. What he did. Amazing thing. And immediately she started pulling her upper cloth. So she was very, started clapping actually, looking at the correction, and they also were amazed. And even Balramji was watching very intently all what was happening. So Krishna is a very clever and very intelligent person. So how he responded to her? If you can imagine the scene, a young girl in the middle of many boys and elder brother in the main road in front of Kamsa's palace at the bank of Ganga is pulling his upper cloth. So he said, oh, look at this Mathura Vasis. How wonderful they are. Look at their loving nature. Even if unknown people, Rahagir, that means all the passers-by, passengers, even them they invite with so much of love to their house. And because of this, because of their nature of welcoming even unknown people to their houses with so much of love and respect, that is why Mathura Nagari is always prosperous and filled with wealth and opulence. I will go around this beautiful city of Mathura and on the way back I will visit you. And immediately he took away the cloth from her hand. Chhuda liya uske haath se. And he immediately went away from there. Not to increase the event further into development for more embarrassment. And he went away. So it is said, whether Rasalila, or whether dancing on Kaliya's hoods, or whether stealing butter, or whether accepting the chandan paste from Kubja, Krishna's pastimes are always very mysterious, always very blissful, fully transcendental and stimulating to the hearts of sincere devotees. They inspire us. They make us happy, amused and also inspired. Yeah. There was, all the gopas were very astonished to see Kubja's unconventional, lusty social behavior in public. But Krishna accepted only the bhava of love and the desire to serve him. And he also neglected her unconventional social behavior. In Gopal Champu, Rupa Jiva Goswami makes a very beautiful point which we must mention here. He says that if one has, these are word to word, huh? Translation of the shloka. If one has bhakti for Krishna, one's heart will shine with straightness and honesty. If there is no bhakti, even the straightness and the beauty is only an external show. If one has internal bhakti, then the straightness and beauty is only an external show. Sorry, if one has no internal bhakti, then the straightness is only external show. If there is bhakti, then everything is very meaningful and beautiful. And he says, Kubja is the example of these words. Many times, you know, many people are very knowledgeable and performing a lot of tapasya, do a lot of dana punya, a lot of service to poor people, and they become very proud, but devoid of the desire to please the Lord. Only for the self-aggrandizement they do that. So our scriptures explain that all such things, including the japa also, japa shastram and tapasya and dana punya, all these so-called devotional attributes are simply like decorations on a dead body if there is no desire to please and serve the Lord. Mandanam lokaranjanam simply becomes an external show. And even if these things don't exist, for example, you don't have lots of heaps of pious activities with you and tapasya and everything, but you have love for Krishna, then everything becomes very auspicious and meaningful and transcendental. So Jiva Goswami gives very beautiful compliment to Kubja, that Kubja had no bodily beauty in one sense, but her heart was filled with love. Her heart was filled with the eagerness to serve the Lord. And the adverse situations that she was in Mathura and Kamsa's Nagari, being Kamsa's Sevika, did not stop her. So another point Acharya has explained here, that a pure devotee is never hindered by any material obstruction. No material impediment can stop a pure devotee from doing whatever he is doing. Nothing can stop him. Like Vibhishan, he was such a adverse situation, being brother of Ravan, being in Lanka, in the middle of Lanka, in the middle of all the demoniac mentality people, all plotting against Lord Ram and doing nonsense activity, stealing Sita, supporting the activity of Lord, supporting activity of Ravan, stealing Sita. And he was being abused, he was, you know, insulted by young people like Indrajit. But still, he maintained his devotion. Even Hanumanji, when he saw that in the middle of all the atrocities and adversities, this fellow is performing Shuddha Bhakti, was very impressed. And he quoted his impression to Lord Ram when he came for asking for shelter. So there are so many examples that no material impediment can stop any devotee for performing spiritual activity. And we have to have that faith that many times we get obstructed and hindered by external discouraging, dampening situations. But when we remember such examples, hear from scriptures, we get encouragement, we get strength to still go on with our service in that adverse situation. That is why our scriptures are there to always inspire us and guide us in all kinds of variety of conditions of life. To go on and continue with our services. Maybe little less speed and little more speed sometimes. But continuity is always there. Because of the faith that in actuality, the adverse situations have no power to hinder anyone's devotion. Because all the adverse situations are the products of the three modes of material nature, governed by the external potency of Krishna, Mahamaya, and devotional service is the activity of internal potency of Krishna, totally independent of the influence of Mahamaya. That is why technically also, it is not possible for Mahamaya to stop you from your devotional service. You can go on and on, having full faith that I am supported by internal potency, at least at that time, when I am trying to perform devotional service, if not all the time, because I am not a pure devotee. But because of the technical understanding of internal potency being the in charge of a devotee's spiritual activity, it cannot be hindered by any influence of the external energy and its byproducts. So this is the beautiful story of Kubja, very inspiring, and we can draw inspiration from that. What most strikes me is her courage with which she offered that chandan to Krishna. And that courage, it pleases Krishna very much. And a devotee is courageous to serve him. Look at Vasudeva and Devaki. Such difficulties they had. But they went on having children. Because they knew 8th one is coming as Krishna. So he did not discourage them. Because one child was killed, the second child was killed. They went on performing their service. It's courage actually. It's courage to have a child in the prison of Kamsa when you are sure that your child is going to be killed by the demonic hands of Kamsa. So they were acting very humbly, but they were within themselves very courageous. And even then the baby appeared, 8th one, and said, go out immediately and put me to Vasudev's, Nanda Maharaja's house. So Vasudev had a courage to lift him and go out and do the needful and come back again. So courage, very important. Today also happens to be Govinda Ghosh's disappearance day. One of the very celebrated personalities of Chaitanya Charitamrita. It is explained in Gaura Ganodes Deepika, Kalavati Rasullasa Gunatunga Vrajasthitaha Sri Vishakha Kritam Gitam Gayanti Smadhya Tamataha Govinda Madhavananda Vasudeva Yatha Kramam. The meaning of this is that there were three sakhis of Vishakha Devi. Out of 3 crores of sakhis of Vishakha Devi, led by 3 principal gopis, and there are many more. Amongst those 3 are also explained by our acharyas, that one was Kalavati, one was Rasullasa, and one was Gunatunga. And whatever their service, Vishakha Devi would compose beautiful songs to please especially Radharani. And Kalavati Devi would sing those songs along with her 2 sisters, Rasullasa and Gunatunga. And this Kalavati was Govinda Ghosh. And Thakur Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains that these 3 were amongst that group of gopis who had taken Radharani as their ultimate ashray vigraha. taken shelter of Radharani as their ultimate ashraya vigraha. So this is Gaura Gandhadesh Deepika, 188 number shloka. And these three brothers were born in Srihatta. And the Srihatta, they had their beautiful place where they would stay. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, Govinda Ghosh rushed towards, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he left everything and rushed towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even before that, he was living in Navadvip Dham, and there he explained that Govinda Ghosh participated into all pastimes of Srivasangan. He also participated into the procession that Mahaprabhu Chaitanya took towards Chand Kadhi's house. He also participated in all pastimes at Raghav Pandit's house near Panihati. And he was always there. And he also participated in the most important activity of Rath Yatra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had Rath Yatra. That famous Rath Yatra was described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He made 7 groups of devotees. And he appointed 7 lead singers, 7 mridanga players and 7 groups of dancers in each, many, many people dancing and other assistants. And he designed those groups himself. In the 4th group, Govinda Ghosh was the leader, lead singer. And it is explained that Vakreshwar Pandit became the lead dancer in that group. And Madhav Ghosh, Vasu Ghosh, Chota Haridas, Vishnu Das and Raghav Pandit and many others, they became the responsive singers and the dancers. This is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila, 10th chapter, many shlokas. And specially Govinda Ghosh and the 2 brothers, whenever they would sing, it was very, very pleasing to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, and especially to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu would dance in ecstasy whenever Govinda would start singing. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would join him and start singing in ecstasy. Govinda Madhava Vasudeva Tina Bhai Yarasabara Kirtane Nache Chaitanya Nitai. This was their unique pastime. And Lord Chaitanya liked those songs sung by Govinda Ghosh. And also Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentioned that they were situated in Madhurya Ras, all 3 of them. In one scripture written by Acharya Nidhi Chaudhary called Sri Hattera Itti Vritta, this particular scripture, it is explained the beautiful story of Govinda Ghosh's service to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, Govinda Ghosh became very sad in one sense, and he didn't want to give up the company of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he left home, wherever he was, and just joined Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from there to Neelachala. And he stayed there only. And then when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to go to Vrindavan, you know, the first time he attempted, second time he attempted, and many people were accompanying him. And then finally, he was continuously accompanied by Govinda Ghosh. And then they were walking in the middle of the jungle towards Vrindavan, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I want Haritaki. Haritaki is like mukhwas, you know, to clean your mouth after prasadam. So he went and begged and got some Haritaki and offered Haritaki, and that took some time, maybe 1 hour, some time to go and beg and collect and come back. So Mahaprabhu was very happy and very pleased with his service. The next day, again Mahaprabhu took lunch and asked for Haritaki, and instantly he gave Haritaki. So Mahaprabhu was very puzzled. He said, how come you have yesterday took so much time and today you are giving instantly? He said, no, I thought that you will require Haritaki maybe regularly after food, and why to disturb you by giving some time every time? So I collected more and preserved something. He said, this is Sanchay Pravruti. This is Grahastha mentality. Sannyasis means they all the time depend only on the Lord. For every single thing, for all their maintenance, food, clothes, everything. They don't store anything. Whatever comes, they take, and they don't store anything. Because you have this mentality of storing, please go back and become a grahastha, get married. So Govinda Ghosh became very sad. He started crying. He fell at the feet of Mahaprabhu Chaitanya, bathed his lotus feet with his tears and said, Mahaprabhuji, please don't abandon me. My desire was to just serve you and please you. So then Mahaprabhu said that, I know you are not a sannyasi. You only love me. You accompanied me not as a sannyasi. I know that. You accompanied me because only you love me. So I am not abandoning you. I am just telling you that you go to back to your village and I will appear to you in a very unique form and you will come to know. So he went to, as per Mahaprabhu's desire, he went back to Agradvip. He was born in Kashipur Vishnutala, where Gangaji flows. And there he went, and one day he was taking bath in Ganga and something touched his back as if it was wood, but very hard and very heavy. And that night he was guided in the dream that go and pick up that thing that touched you, that is Krishna Shila, and you get a DT card out of that. So immediately he went next day and picked up that log of stone, supposed to be log of wood for him, but it was actually stone. And he came home. As soon as he came, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in his house. And he said that one sculptor will come, nothing to worry for you. One sculptor will come and carve a DT with chisel from this Krishna Shila and will make a DT, and you establish this DT near your house as Gopinath. And I will stay with you in the form of this DT and accept your service. So the sculptor came as was told by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the DT was carved, very beautiful DT. You know, we had, if you remember Govind Prabhu, we had gone to Yatra on Agradvip one time. It's a beautiful situation, very peaceful, very nice, serene atmosphere. And I saw the biggest of tamal tree in my life in Agradvipa. It's like a banyan tree, I saw a tamal tree, under which we had lecture and we visited the place of the DT, had darshan. We also visited the place where the ceremony of his Shraddha was done. Anyways, so he established a DT at the east bank of Ganga Devi and named him as Gopinath as per the instruction of Lord. And he would serve him regularly with great love and affection. Idam Argyam, Idam Padyam, Sri Gopinathaya Namaha. But in the heart of his heart, he would say Idam Gaurangaya Namaha. He was simply serving Gaurang Mahaprabhu in the form of the DT. Later on he got married and he also got a son. So he named the son Gopinath. So that constantly he would chant the name of Gopinath. But lo and behold, in some time, his wife died and son also died. Now Govind Ghosh was very upset, you know, he was very sad. Why, my Lord, why you did this? I never wanted a wife. I wanted always to be with you. I never wanted a son. You gave me wife, you gave me a son, and now you took them away from me. They died. So what kind of a senseless game is this that you are playing with me? I will not serve you anymore. So he just lay down on the ground, crying, and he didn't cook that day. And the Lord Gopinath came from the DT and started massaging his feet and saying, what kind of intelligence is this? Your one son died and you are serving your other son to death? So Govinda said, I don't understand what you are saying. It's beyond my comprehension. So he said, am I not like your son? How can you starve me? I am depending on you. I have offered myself to you. I am now yours. How can you not cook for me and starve me to death? So he said, my son has died. Who will do my Shraddha? Who will offer oblations to my ancestors? And who will do these duties now? I have nobody. Will you do all these things? He said, definitely I will do all these things. I promise you. Plus feed me. The Lord promised him that I will do all your Shraddha karma and offer tarpan to your seniors also. Immediately, happily he got up, wiped his tears and went and cooked. And Gopinath was very happy. And Govind Ghosh had told the villagers, as a will, in those days they were not right will, but they had told, ki, when I will die, don't burn me. Please bury me. And he had told the place also, called as Dola Prangana, very close by to his house. You know, Agradvip is 4 miles from Katwa and 20 miles from Mayapur. So there only, in the village near Kashitala, Vishnu, Vaishnutala, Kashipura, he had his house. And in Tamulak, other brother had a house. And Dena Hatta, where her third brother stayed, very close by in one area. So he had told them that I will be buried, I will not be burnt by all of you. So when actually, after a long time, Govinda Ghosh left his body, that is today's day, scriptures explain that it as Chaitra Shuddha, no, Chaitra Vadya, no, Falgun Vadya Trayodashi. Chaitra is to begin on 31st now. But today is Dwadashi, I don't know the calculation. Anyways, so on this day, when he left his body, somebody else was doing deity worship. And when they opened the curtain, they saw the Lord was not wearing pitambar, not wearing ornaments, which they had worn him previous day. He was only wearing white dress, white dhoti and white chadar, and he had darbha in his hand. And the Lord, that time, actually became a mobile person, walked with all the grieving villagers, went to Yola Prangana, and with darbha, holding, darbha is called pavitra, you know, darbha means kushagras, they make a ring out of that, chanting mantras, and wearing that you perform your rituals. Holding that darbha ring in the hand, darbha ankur, darbha ankur, he performed all the final rites of Govinda Ghosh and made the samadhi of Govinda Ghosh and again became deity. This is the Lord's love. Amazing, amazing how Lord is committed to his devotees. In Bhagavad Gita we hear the philosophy. In Bhagavatam we see the devotees who love Krishna. In Chaitanya Charitamrita we see devotees who are fully in love with the Lord, and Lord is so much in love with them. And what not Lord is doing for them. Huh? Even the massage Govinda Ghosh's feet. He then had loving argument. Huh? I'm serving. I'm depending on you. How you're not serving me? And then he took a promise from him. And the Lord fulfilled the promise after the life of Govinda Ghosh. Let's see the love. So inspiring and so assuring that our life is so successful that we are attached to the personality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Through our acharyas, by mercifully, we are connected to them. And we also can hope to have this loving interaction with the Lord, because Lord is hungry of that. It is not that Lord is very shrewd and very miserly. Because very few people love him, so he is very eager to respond to those who love him, and want to love him, and want to come to him. One time we were told that, we heard a question that, will ever we reach Golok Vrindavan, will we ever get love of Godhead, will we ever enter Golok Vrindavan? So the answer was given by, I think, Jananivas Prabhu in Mayapur, that very few people are eager to love Krishna and serve him. That is why it is a good chance that all of us will go to Golok and all of us will get reciprocative loving interactions with the Lord. Well, very few are trying to do that. And most of them don't want to do this. They want to enjoy material world only. And such is our Lord. If you do little love for him, offer loving relationship with him, service to him, he straightened Kubja, massaged the feet of Govinda Ghosh and performed his final rites. Even today also, the Lord is worn white dhoti and white chadar, and his deity is taken by all the villagers on this day, today's day, to Dola Prangana, and all the rituals the deity performs. That means the deity leaves the temple one day in a year to a burial ground. Do we take Krishna on burial ground any time? Do we take deity of Krishna? We don't even take beat back to do a burial ground. But Lord Krishna himself goes. When love is there, there are no rituals. There are no rules and regulations. Everything is finished when love is there. Love is the most important sentiment of our life. And for love, all the regulations can be broken. Not whimsically, but out of love. So Krishna is also exhibiting here that he broke the rule of not taking the deity to Smashan. And he lovingly every year goes. Since then, now maybe 400 plus years have passed. He is still going every year. Prabhura agyaya nityananda gaude chalila tarasange tina jana prabhu agyaya aila. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally instructed Nityananda Prabhu to go to Gaudadesh, Bengal, to preach, he sent Ramdas, Govinda, Ramdas, Vasu Ghosh and Madhav Ghosh. And he kept Govinda Ghosh with him. So it is said, Ramadasa Madhava Ara Vasudeva Ghosha Prabhu Sange Rahe Govinda Paiya Santosha. He was very satisfied by having the permission to stay with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So today also, Govinda Ghosh's Samadhi exists in Dol Prangana. And very interestingly, his Pushpa Samadhi exists in the area of Radha Govindji in Vrindavan, where 64 samadhis are there. This Pushpa Samadhi also exists. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak. Is there any comments or questions? Most welcome.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Bhaji, for a nice class. Because just few chapters before we heard how Krishna and Balaram came out of Vrindavan and then the plight of gopis, Mother Yashoda, and then in the class you were mentioning about Vibhishan and Arjuna. So this is a particular set of devotees, like Krishna thoroughly tests them, Krishna thoroughly kind of show from their example how what pure devotion is. And then suddenly just 2-3 chapters after we see this Weaver, Sudama, and
easy.
Like just you get Krishna Prem. So
Yathamam Prapadyante Tam Sarve Bhajamyam. Very simple. As per the attitude and approach of devotees and as per his desire to show example to others in the world. And as per the capacity of devotees to accept those kind of tests, these activities are done. So you can see Radharani and the gopis and Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj are tested to the utmost situation. Unbearably inconceivable situations. And suddenly Kubja and Sudama are just given benedictions one after another. So even amongst these devotees, there are different levels. They are not all same. Vibhishan is not same as Arjuna, Arjuna is not same as gopis, and they are not same as Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. Everybody is different. And everybody's sentiment is unique and individual. And everybody's capacity to accept Krishna's mercy is different. And everybody's willingness to be part of Krishna's instrument to show example to the world is also different. So accordingly we see different reactions. And Krishna's wonderful nature is that he is so particular and so unique that his relationships and activity with each devotee is individual and unique. It's never same as others. It may generally look as same, but still when he interacts with Lalita, Vishakha, and Tungavidya is different at the same time. Nanda Maharaj is different. Other Gopas, Prabhavati is different. Yashoda different. Rohini different. And Arjuna different. And Sahadev different. Like that. Yes, Prabhuji. Is that okay, Prabhuji? Answer satisfying?
Prabhuji, I just wanted to check my understanding that, you know, some devotees may be given, you know, apparently very casually bhakti, but there it doesn't stop. Basically, bhakti is an ongoing process and Krishna doesn't leave any relationship unexcited. Right? So there will be tests and situations and everything to all the devotees, whether, you know, they got mercy easily or with endeavor. Like, so is that correct?
Yeah, ultimately, whatever one needs, that is provided. And whatever his capacity is there, that is utilized by Krishna to show to the world. But at the same time, whether there is benedictions like samruddhi and fame and good strength of body and beauty, or in Kubja's case, the correction of the body's deformity, whatever it is, that is not the benediction Krishna gives. That is not the benefit that we are looking for, neither they are looking for, neither Krishna is giving only. What Krishna is giving ultimately through all this is loving devotional service. That is the ultimate reward that Krishna gives. Through whatever he does, you know, even when Arjuna, Vibhishan came down and surrendered, ultimately offered him the opportunity for loving devotional service through his surrender. Same to Arjuna, through all the Bhagavad Gita descriptions. And here, in instant surgery also, the same thing is offered. So that is the real benediction. And Kubja didn't become blissful because she became beautiful. She became blissful because she pleased Krishna. And she received that sentiment of loving devotional service. And Srimad Bhagavatam, when we read, whether Mathura Leela, Vrindavan Leela, we have to focus on that point only. How is Krishna giving pure devotional service to variety of devotees in different ways? And that essence, like Arjuna said, I am seeing only the pupil of the left eye of the bird. We have to focus our attention on that. That is what the scripture is meant for, actually. Any other question? Comments? Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Kubja Devi ki, Govinda Ghosh Maharaj ki, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki, Jaya.